Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, now also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined as always by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, who is professor of comic book history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Walter, good afternoon, and you know, it's great seeing you again after the holidays. We had a wonderful little long weekend there with Boxing Day and everything.
Yes, it was beautiful.
It was great.
I have to ask you, Chris, before the show starts here, how was Santa?
You know what? Santa was wonderful to me. I got a digital camera.
Good for you.
Yes. Good, I was very happy to get that. It took me long and hard to find one that I wanted for Santa to get me.
But, did you, like, you know, go through the whole thing of wrapping it up?
Absolutely. And, yeah? Absolutely.
And
that's
then you
right.
kind of
that's
opened
right.
it on Christmas.
That's right.
Said,
wow. You know, yeah. Oh, wow. Thanks, Santa. Oh, wow.
Good for you. Good
that's
for you.
Great. And yourself, how was Santa for you?
It was excellent. Good. Santa got me socks.
Oh, yeah. I got socks, too.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Black wool socks.
Oh, very nice.
Good for the winter. I will not be cold this winter.
Well, that's good. That's good. And you know what helps you keep you warm throughout the winter?
What's that?
Reading comic books.
Hi, good segue, Chris.
You know, I'm good that way.
Yes. Chris, you are right. Comic books does help time pass.
It
especially
does.
Good ones.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, this week, Chris, there are not that many comic books coming.
We talked about this last week or the week before, I remember, and this is sort of an off week for the whole shipment schedule, right?
Yep.
Yeah, crazy.
what do they have? They have, Marvel has Fall of the Hulks, Alpha Number One, coming in today.
Okay.
And now, you know what, when you go on the Marvel site, just, Chris, the lead up to this. Okay, you got MODOK,
yeah.
The Leader.
Yeah.
Mad Thinker.
Yeah.
Egghead.
Yeah, great, yeah.
Red Ghost, and the Super Apes, and Doc Doom.
Yes.
Okay, they make up a secret group who have analyzed every victory and every defeat in the Marvel U. And now they've created a perfect battle plan that they say will result in the fall of the Hulks.
Wow. You do know that, wasn't the Red Ghost the character that has, like, you know, his own army of apes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to make sure it was the right character. And so somehow this army of apes is going to defeat the Hulk.
Well, that's not alone. They got Egghead helping them out. Come on.
Right.
They got a plan. These guys have
a
plan.
Right. What was it? Right? What was I thinking? Yes. You know what? You're absolutely right.
Right. So anyway, that is coming out today from Marvel. And that's
very
the
cool.
only thing coming out today. Well, I won't say the only thing because Marvel does have the giveaway.
Right.
The Siege giveaway.
Right, right.
Which almost reads like the Red Hulk. The Siege giveaway is it's basically the next big Marvel conflict.
Right.
6 years in the making.
And this has to do with, like, you know, Thor or Loki
and
all that kind of stuff,
yes.
right? Okay. So.
And so, I mean, it's going to be a preview, and it's going to be a setup for
you know
the big
what? This
series.
This is very clever on Marvel's part.
It is?
Well, yes, absolutely, because... Okay. If I was a Marvelite, a part of the Merry Marvel Marching Society, mm-hmm. MMMS,
mm-hmm.
And I was a true believer, you know, in the words of Stan Lee, going around saying Excelsior,
yes.
and, you know, and I was a true Marvel guy, and I wanted to buy, you know, my Marvel books for this week. Well, if I had nothing else, well, now I'm going to buy the Siege, right?
Yes, well, you're going to be given Siege.
Right.
Right, later on.
But
right.
now, that's going to be... But the fact that there's nothing else to read, nothing else to buy, I'm given the Siege this week, and then next week I'm going to have to...
Right.
If I want to know what's going on, I'm going to have to buy the rest
of it. So what you're saying is that we would have been given Siege out on a regular week, but it may have been tossed or ignored.
Right.
Because they have their 7 or 8 other Marvel titles that they're reading.
You know,
but they're going to read their Alpha Hulk.
That's right.
And then they're going to be done.
That's right.
So what the hell is this Siege stuff?
Well, I want to know what it's all about.
Yeah.
I've got it here in my hand. I might as well read it, right? Whereas before, if I've got 4 or 5 Spidey titles or an X-Men title or something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Right now, all of a sudden, I've got Butkus. You know, I'm only going to read that.
Good call. So, good call.
Very sneaky on Marvel's part.
Very sneaky. Also out today, Chris, is The Blackest Night, number 6 of 8.
Of 8. Yes. Now, I've noticed that this seems to be still selling very well on all the chat
boards. Massive. It's the biggest seller.
Yeah, on all the chat boards and all the websites, I've seen that it's still reading. It's still very, very popular.
Yep.
And it still has 2 more issues to go after this.
Yes, and the big stink, I guess I'll say stink,
yep.
but it was the contents or you know, the spoiler stuff or whatever, it was leaked on the internet sometime last week.
Right.
and you know, which had I guess DC in a tither, but
well, sure, yeah.
But I don't know. I still think people are going to pick it up and grow.
Oh, well, of course they will, because you know what? It's one of those things where you know you've seen the trailer for some movie, you've seen the outline, but you know what? You still want to go see the movie. You still want to see the whole thing, right?
Right. It's like well, and also you know, comics being comics, collectors being collectors.
Yeah,
it's not
for sure.
Like you read the first five, and then you. You know what? I'm not going to buy six. I'm done.
And then
I'll buy seven and eight, though.
Yeah, for sure. So you know what? Comic book collectors, for the most part, are completists.
Yes, they are.
They want to have all of everything,
yes,
right?
Yes, they are.
Hey, I got to ask you, though.
Go.
I know this is a bit of a tangent, but I got to ask you, as a comic book store owner.
Yes.
I'm not really as aware as I probably should be, being a comic book historian.
Yes.
Have there been a lot of special covers and giveaways and that kind of thing devoted to the Blackest Night? I know Marvel is sort of infamous for creating special comics.
DC has their variant covers.
Yeah, variant
as well.
Covers. Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't think the panic button has been set yet in terms of the big boys, Marvel and DC.
Right.
In terms of, you know, the scratch and sniff, the hollow
foil,
whatever, the seven different covers to number one. I mean, there are
a special Frank Frazetta cover
whatever,
off of one in every 10,000.
So we haven't got there yet. But you know what? There is now an established market for the 1 in 25 variant,
right.
The 1 in 200 variant, or
right,
whatever.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, they haven't dropped it because it's working.
Right.
But they haven't exploited it because it's not working.
Okay, so now well. I gotta ask you a very, very quick question. I know we've got lots to talk about here, but I want to know, and I think for people that are listening, I think it'd be very interesting for them to know,
yes.
As a buyer of comics on a weekly basis, is it worthwhile for them to be buying the variant covers as an investment?
I like to think, I'm by no means the end authority on this, but what happens is the only way, I won't say the only way, but the quickest way that they can be turned into money is usually that they're traded graded.
Right. Okay,
right? So
right.
If you're lucky enough to find a really nice one, quickly get it graded, and then sell it quickly.
Right.
Because these things, especially the miniseries, Chris, they're out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
So they're hot now.
Right.
They're in public's mind now. So you may be able to make some money now. But I don't think, and I could be wrong, but I honestly don't think that these are long-term keepers.
Right. Okay, right. These can be a bit of a flash in the pan. However, if you get a high-graded version that might be sought after, you might be still in the money.
You might be in the money, but I think you have a window.
Right, okay.
I think you have
Fair
a
enough.
Window with these
Fair
things.
Enough. Okay.
So,
all right.
You know what? And Chris and I always champion this. You buy your comics to read and enjoy.
Yes.
And do not buy them hoping that you'll make money.
And if you are, and I've always said this too, if you are going to buy a variant cover for whatever reason, make sure you're buying it because you like the cover for yourself.
Or it has nude girls on it, because later on it could sell.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Okay.
And that's not very likely, given that it's from Marvel and DC, but, you know, it's very possible.
Right.
You never know.
Okay.
Okay, next up.
Hey, Chris, that's it. Obviously, it's a
cover. Oh, right, yeah,
we seem to have stretched out pretty good.
Yeah.
we're going to jump right into industry news.
Okay.
And, did you know, just 2 days ago, Monday, the 28th of December, Stan Lee's 87th birthday.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
Yes.
Stanley. Excelsior!
Stanley Martin Lieber.
You know, Stanley Martin Lieber, that's right. I forgot
that
was his full name.
Born December 28th, 1922.
Wow. You know, and it's so funny the way, I mean, I've talked a lot about Stan Lee in a lot of my history classes, because, of course, Stan Lee was a guy that really... he wanted to be, you know, what he thought of as a professional writer, not somebody who wrote kids' books at the time. And here's a guy that really, he wanted to get out of writing comic books, and he was given the task of writing the Fantastic Four, and he was gonna quit Marvel. He said, you know what, I'm done with writing comics. But the owner at the time, Martin Goodman, came up to him and said, hey, you know what, can you write this one comic for me, please? And it's going to be the Fantastic Four. It's about these four people, like a family kind of thing. And he thought, you know what, I'll do this one last book and see how it goes.
But I'll do it my way.
I'll do it my way, yeah. Because, you know what, he didn't want to write anything else the way he was being told to write stuff. So he did it his way. Of course, smash success.
Yeah, all hell breaks loose.
And then, of course, we've got the Hulk and Journey into Mystery with Thor and all these other great comics.
X-Men, Iron Man, Hulk, Spider-Man, Thor, Daredevil, Doc Strange.
Yeah.
I mean, collaborated with all, guys like Ditko and Kirby.
But
he had his hand in it.
He did absolutely have his hand in it. And, thankfully, he did things the way, like Sinatra said, I did it my way.
Oh, you know what? That is Stan Lee doing Sinatra.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Excelsior! I did it my way!
Did you know that at the age of 19, he was the Timely Marvel publisher. Like, he was the editor-in-chief,
In
1941, he was 19 years old.
Jeez.
Then he went into the Army.
What were you doing when you were 19?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. I can't remember.
I certainly wasn't managing a publishing company.
No. But he went to the war, and he came back, and then he went back to his position and stuff. And of course, like you said, a decade or so later, history was made.
Right.
And here we are today.
Right.
Right. Okay. So, happy birthday,
Stan. Happy birthday, Stan. You know...
Enough said.
You know...
funny.
One of the greatest things as a kid growing up, watching the Saturday morning cartoons, was I used to watch Spider-Man and the Amazing Friends, and it was followed by the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And it always had an introduction by Stan Lee.
Mm.
And it always sort of like... Hello, true believers, this is Stan Lee. And then he would explain what's going on, and then he would talk about, the whole scenario, and then Excelsior! Yeah, and it was just great,
Now, if you want a good Stan image, comicbookdaily.com on their front page.
Oh, yeah.
Have a great 1975 shot.
Oh, yeah.
Of Stan the man in that leisure suit.
Nice.
Button down, showing off those chest hairs. Yep. The Mac.
Well, it's funny, here's a guy that for many years, in recent years especially, has nothing to do with writing any of the Marvel comics, really.
Yes.
I mean, the odd comic may have come out. I remember there was some Nightcat comic that came out in like the late 90s or something like that. But other than that, for the most part, it didn't have much to do with writing mainstream Marvel comics. However, he's still like the spokesperson for Marvel Comics, right? Like,
he is
still
the
guy.
He's
absolutely.
The face of Marvel Comics.
Absolutely.
You know what, man? We wish Stan... 3-4 more decades.
Oh, at least. I hope so.
All right. Chris, we're going to move it on, and I'd like to talk about... Chris, you and I are both fans of... do you remember in the 70s that, the oversized Superman versus Muhammad Ali...
Sure. Neil Adams cover.
Well, DC has announced that they're going to re-release that Superman versus Muhammad Ali comic.
Really? Here's the thing. Of course, this was Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams did that together. Right?
Yes.
Now, do we know, and you may not know this, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here.
Yes.
Do we know, is it going to be in an oversized treasury edition just like the original
I don't know
was?
The exact dimensions, but it will be, they will both, there's two versions, I guess two covers perhaps.
Okay.
Two editions, and they will both be hard covers.
Oh, okay, cool.
And they'll be deluxe editions. I would imagine they're going to be larger. I don't know if they're going to be the exact
right.
Stuff.
But you know what? Well, that's a great thing because I know that...
Oh, the same trim size. I'm sorry. I do have it in my notes. It will be the same trim size as the 1975.
Oh, cool. Okay, so that's awesome. That's,
right.
So it's going to be the same size as the original Treasury Edition,
right.
But in hardcover.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that book is much sought after by a lot of people.
I have
people.
A quick story, Chris. Quick story.
Bring it on.
I think the publicist for Muhammad Ali emailed the store.
Our store?
Yeah.
Your store?
Yes. And asked us if we had this treasury.
Really?
Yes. And because I guess Ali wanted one.
Really?
Yes, I swear. And this was about a year ago.
Okay.
And we emailed him saying we really have a really nice one, and we would gladly donate it to Mr. Ali if he would perhaps just, sign something.
Yeah,
to Big B Comics or something like that. And we never heard back from
him. Oh, really? Well, that's too bad.
So that would have been great.
Oh,
I'm a big fan of Ali.
Oh, I know,
and I'm a big fan of Superman, too. So
you know what? It was perfect. That's absolutely, that's cool.
So anyway, so that's good news for all those fans. I don't know the price point as of right now, but it's going to be cheaper than picking up a nice copy
absolutely.
Of the original.
I'm sure.
They're going for $100+.
Well, you know what's funny is that I remember a few years ago, I say a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago now, I'm getting older, but they were running like at, you know, $15 bucks kind of thing. But now they're all of a sudden, a lot of those Treasury editions are becoming very expensive.
Yes.
And highly sought after.
Yes.
Especially some of the DC ones. Like there's like a DC Love one and a DC Horror, like Ghosts.
Yes.
Like some of them are really hard to find. Like
I
went to a convention once where I saw a Ghosts one and it was gone in about 10 seconds.
I know. Well, you know what the funny part is? I think one of the major auction houses, Comic Link or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They had the original artwork for that. You know the very first one, the Spider-Man with the red cover where he's doing the classic pose?
Kind of
kneel, not squat, the squatting pose.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all red, and I think Romita did it.
Yeah.
They actually had the original artwork
really?
Up there for sale. I think they were asking for something like $75,000
or
something.
Wow, holy
like
cow.
That. Which, you know, I guess in the long run might be worth it.
Sure,
I don't know.
Sure.
All right. So that's cool. And what else do we have, Chris, for you here? This is news. I'm sorry. Bone.
Jeff Smith's
Bone. There is talk of it moving towards a multi-movie deal. They're actually going to try to make not just one movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's been a lot of talk about this for years, but I think it's getting close enough that people are starting to make speculations on it because... Dan Lin, who's the producer of Sherlock Holmes, he revealed that the Bone Project is well underway, and that Jeff Smith has been involved in the development process.
Perfect.
So that's great news because that's going to be fabulous.
That's very popular with a lot of the younger generation of comic book readers.
Yes,
and I remember when it came out, and I liked it when it came out. I haven't read the entire thing yet, but I read a lot of the original issues, and I liked it a lot. Yes.
Well, I've read the whole thing, Chris. It's brilliant.
Yeah,
and it's not just for kids.
No,
you can be six. You can be 160.
Sure.
Enjoy this thing. So that's good news for all Bone fans.
Good. Excellent.
What else I have? Oh, Free Comic Book Day, Chris. Remember last week we mentioned some gold sponsors.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yeah, I remember that.
I want to mention some silver sponsors.
Okay.
Which, Free Comic Book Day being always the first Saturday
in May. Yes.
Which I think this year in 2010 or next falls on the 1st.
Oh, okay, cool.
The 1st of May.
Cool, okay.
IDW is doing something called Library of American Comics, which because they plan on producing a whole bunch of libraries of classic American comics like Rip Kirby,
Dick Tracy,
stuff from the 40s, 50s,
the older stuff,
30s. So they're doing this giveaway to highlight a bunch of those old strips.
Well, there hasn't really been enough done for the old strips of the 40s and 50s, especially guys like Dick. Like I have an old tattered Dick Tracy compendium from 1980, right?
Yeah.
Like it's worn out because I've read it so many times. And but really, there's not enough of that old 1940s and 50s comic strip stuff that's been collected.
You're getting the major ones with nice hardcovers. There's a beautiful Popeye collection out and stuff.
And there's Peanuts. Yeah, and Far Side. Even the recent
there's
one.
Terry and the Pirates and stuff. But we've named three or four, but there's literally dozens and dozens great collections.
Are you kidding? Like even. The ones in the 30s and the 40s, like back when they first started experimenting with color with what they called the Yellow Kid in the original news strips back in the day. Comic book strips are what sold newspapers. People were buying newspapers in order to read the cartoons and the comic strips. So there were literally dozens and maybe even hundreds of different types of cartoon strips out there that have not been collected, have not really had the appreciation that we should give them.
Well, hey.
So thank goodness for people like IDW
that are doing this.
Absolutely right.
Another interesting one I want to highlight is Gemstone, they're finally doing an Overstreet. They're the people that publish the Overstreet Price.
Yes, guide. Yes.
And they're doing an Overstreet Guide to Collecting giveaway.
What? Say what do you mean?
An Overstreet Price, like a guide to collecting. So a little giveaway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, so they're doing.
They're doing a free comic book day.
Oh,
comic.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I think it's great.
Yeah. I never would have thought of that. Now, of course, Gemstone published a lot of the Disney comics for many years.
Yes.
But their bread and butter, of course, is the giveaway, the Overstreet
price
guide.
Guide. Yeah.
Now, for a lot of people that aren't necessarily involved in the Overstreet Price Guide, who collect and things like that, this is a great idea. Now, Walter, of course, for those of you who don't know it, is actually an advisor for the Overstreet Price Guide.
Yes, I am.
And, I think that...
I think I gave him this idea. No, I didn't, but...
Well, I mean, as an Overstreet advisor, like, what kind of things do you imagine could be in this price guide?
Well, you know what it is? What I see this happening here is, you know, you and I both talk about it, and we kind of like the fact that comics are moving to more as an entertainment art form.
Absolutely.
And what happens, is that what lacks there is the collectability of them.
Right.
And so I think there's room for both. I think there's room for collecting.
Yeah.
And not necessarily collecting for profit. They're two different
things. No.
Collecting. And I think what Overstreet is trying to do here is through giveaway with kids, with younger people, to try to say, hey, you know what? Comic books are great things to collect.
Yes.
And I'm sure they're going to have laud the merits of collecting comics.
I would think, now I'm not an Overstreet advisor like yourself, but I hope to be one day.
Right.
But I would think that if they were smart, they would start highlighting some of the things that are more recent and collectible for a younger audience of people that would want to think about collecting.
Right.
And that maybe have not bought an Overstreet Price Guide before, but this might entice them into buying one because it might have valuable information for them for the collectibility of comic books.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know what? I think it's a great move, and... you know what, and hopefully, and I don't think the first one will solve it. Hopefully they'll have the next few years, see what happened, see what worked with this one,
sure.
And expand on it and move forward. Bongo Comics is great. I always love when Bongo does their free giveaway. Archie always comes out with a Sonic.
Is Archie married yet or what?
Oh, he's been married twice already.
Well, so I was actually at your store. Well, I don't want to keep on promoting that, but I was at your store the other day, and it's at issue number 4 of 5 of the Archie...
Four of six,
of the Archie marries Veronica...
No.
Archie marries somebody.
In part, in 4, 5, and 6, they're devoted to his Betty wedding.
Oh, okay.
And 1, 2, and 3, the parts of the 6-part story are invited to are dedicated to his Veronica wedding.
Okay. So they're still not done yet.
No.
Oh, okay.
A couple more issues to go,
and
despite you, it's selling like hotcakes.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. I'm very glad.
What else do we got, Chris, today on the new this week? Boy, you know what? I think we might be moving into our topic of the day.
Well, you know what? That's good because I'm kind of excited about our topic of the day because you and I briefly before the show we were talking about Christmas and what was hot for selling and not only that we talked about what were the big sellers for the year? And of course we're discussing this because this is of course our end of the year broadcast.
It's our last show of
2009.
Yes.
So we were talking very briefly about the kind of big sellers that and big events that occurred throughout 2009.
Yeah, we're bantering back and forth on what kind of year it was for comics and stuff.
That's right.
And obviously, the year was dominated again by the two big boys.
That's right.
Marvel and DC.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Yeah. And of course, Dark Reign
was the big kind of mega event going on for Marvel.
Yeah, and Blackest Night
was
the big one
for
DC. Right.
Now, I'm going to say that Blackest Night, hands down, was the stronger.
I would have to say the same thing, yeah, for sure.
But you know what? I mean...
I think the promotion in and of itself of everything that has to do with the Green Lantern, Blackest Night, was... had a much broader appeal than the Dark Reign did. I think the idea of having all these different kind of lanterns out there was very very interesting. It had never been done before. You know, it was all sort of very brand new.
Listen, DC, you know, this is where you, it's odd. You know, I look at, always every month I look at some industry stats.
Yeah.
And what DC, what I realized, I guess, quickly, is that DC does not have the depth that Marvel does have, is because there are weeks over the last few months that, that, you know, DC has had the top six comics.
Right.
You know,
right.
Boom.
Yeah.
You know, Darkest Night, Green Lantern Darkest Night, and then the Tales of the Green Lantern Darkest Night,
yeah,
and then,
right, you know, right,
Batman
right.
and Robin, and so on and so forth. And yet Marvel still controls most of the market.
Yeah, yeah, right? That's
because
right.
Marvel can ship, you know, dozens of books a week.
That's right.
And I guess nitpick at it and come away with, you know, 45% of the market.
Right.
Whereas DC, it seems to be concentrated, I don't know. I mean, it was surprising because it's something that obviously I knew, but this hit you in the head because, you know, you have this top six sellers,
yep.
the top six,
yep.
and yet you're behind, you know, the other companies. So,
well, you know, I mean, I think part of that comes down to the fact that, you know, DC has, you know, traditionally had really three fantastic, great characters. They had Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
right? Because those are the ones from the Golden Age that kind of passed on from the 1930s and, you know...
Well, they are the three characters from the Golden Age that did not take a hiatus.
Right, right.
Their titles continued on
right.
through the, what they call the Atom Age, the late right, 40s, right. early 50s. So, into the Silver Age.
And then in the 60s, you had yes. the advent of all the Marvel characters,
yes.
which have been around and very, very popular, like with Spider-Man, The Incredible
yeah.
Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, both had TV shows, even though Spider-Man wasn't really a great TV show. It had
yeah.
a TV show, had many cartoons, you know, and then, you know, but really, besides, you know, the Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, all the other characters, you know, the Atom and Aquaman and Hawkman,
yeah,
and
Flash, Green Lantern.
They had some cartoons, but they really didn't have a whole lot of airtime, I'll call it.
Yeah.
Whereas now, the Green Lantern is really stepping into its
yes,
own character.
Yes.
You're getting a lot of airtime, a lot
Green
of play,
Lantern movie talk.
Yeah, exactly. All
so,
that kind of stuff. Whereas,
yeah.
whereas before, not a whole lot to do with that. So I think traditionally that's one of the reasons why Marvel did so well, is they had all these characters for the past 40 years who've been doing very well for them as a franchise. Whereas now DC is trying to make these characters better.
You're right, but like right now, I mean, I think both. I mean, first of all, I mean, you know, we're going to run out of time, so
as usual,
you know, let's drop Marvel and DC for now, because again, we can spend 9 hours talking about them, and let's talk about some, you know. What I would like to see is a world where it's not dominated by Marvel
Absolutely,
and DC.
For sure.
Where it's not like 45%, 40%, and then 4, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2, all the way to 100.
Well,
you know, like,
and I think those days are coming. I think with Dark Horse,
yeah, Dark Horse did well,
did very well. IDW is doing very well.
IDW is doing great
with all of their not.
Yeah, they're probably the two that are best poised to kind of crack.
Yeah.
You know, go above, let's say, 5% sales.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
stuff.
I mean, Dark Horse is very very. They're great with the Star Wars franchises, with the
Conan.
Yeah. With the Hellboy stuff,
yeah.
and then you've got IDW with franchises like Transformers.
Yeah, well, IDW is picking up everything.
Yeah,
right?
they're getting everything. Yeah. They're, as you were saying earlier, they're getting all the
public domain stuff
characters
stuff
as well.
Yeah.
They're doing very well with all that stuff.
So, you know, and I guess that's where, in an ideal world, it's not dominated by the two. I think that Marvel and DC, getting back to them as well, I think, you know, they rest so much on these big events, and the year, like you and I discussed,
yeah.
the 2009 was dominated by the big events from the two big companies.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I don't know, I'd like to see that shaken up.
Yeah,
for sure. I'd like to see it go back to, hey, you know what? I like reading, you know, Aquaman.
Yeah.
I like reading, you know, Wonder Woman. I like reading, whereas now is cripe. You know, I have to read this main storyline because
yeah,
it's involving
know,
it.
Yeah.
And if I really like Wonder Woman, I have to read, you know,
you have
Dark,
read everything else. Yeah,
everything
yeah.
else, because it's all tied into
yeah,
this big, huge arc.
I've always hated that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but it's working so far for
I know,
Marvel.
I know.
You know what? Look at, what is it? The Siege?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Next year, and I'm not sure what DC's got up.
Well,
I'm sure.
They're always going to have some sort of big event that's going to involve you having to buy 40 different issues.
Yeah.
And I think that is a great thing for some collectors and a horrible thing for other collectors.
Well, listen, that's something, I guess, looking forward to 2010.
Yes.
2010 could be a year where we, the comic book readers, we have the power to change
absolutely
what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know? But it's funny, trends start and they plow through even when signals of change is in the air.
Yeah.
The trend is so strong, the momentum is so strong forward that they go past the point of their welcome, is my point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just may be that for these all-encompassing events.
Well, I couldn't have said it any better myself, but if you think you can say it better than we have, please email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca. Or mailbox@bigbcomics.com. Unfortunately, we're out of time for today. Please go out and enjoy the rest of your comic book day. Have yourself a great New Year's Eve, because we won't be seeing you until after that. And we'll see you next week.
See you next year.
Hey!